the day we got born again, we were born into the promised land. You live based on what God has said. You carry it in your spirit. If he has said it, it is true. Your joy, your fulfillment, your mood is independent on happiness. So we don't live based on happiness. We live based on God's will. We live from the inside. Let your heart be established in grace. You are a mobile temple. Prayer is allowed anywhere, anytime. Sito keto monti kate rito kopoto keta sudeke ponde kidede. Christianity is a display of divine as two men on earth. You see, when spiritual hunger gains the ascendancy, gains the dominance over your mind, you don't even see anything as sacrifice.
So as you grow spiritually, you generate a potential difference. And that potential difference will bring to you the monies you need. It will bring to you the people you need. It will bring to you the necessary materials you need to fulfill your God-given calling on the earth.
Praise God. Amen, 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 amen. 2 Peter chapter 1. Are you there? Do you have your Bibles? Do you have your Bibles? 2 Peter chapter 1. You know, I'm tempted to read from the first verse. So much temptation. But where we're going is 5 to 8. Amen. We're starting a new series today. How many of you know it? Amen. What is it? What are we starting with today? Boosting your faith. For supernatural accomplishment. Amen. And we'll be sharing some faith in this month of March. Amen. Are you excited about that? Amen. Hallelujah. Your faith is your lifeline. Amen. I said your faith is your lifeline. When Peter was going to deny the master. You remember when Satan came after him, put thoughts in his heart and all that. Jesus knew it by prophecy. He told him something. He said, Peter, Satan desires to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you. Did he say that you should not fail? He said that your faith fail not. That means faith failure is life failure. Amen. Oh, you guys are sleeping this morning. Have you gone home? Are you still here? It means faith failure is life failure. In this kingdom, once your faith fails, your life has failed. So Jesus didn't say, I prayed for you that you will not fail. He said, I prayed for you that your faith fail not. I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. Hallelujah. So the faith message is so important. Your understanding of the concept of faith and consciously building your faith to match where God is taking you to is very important. I tell people, it's not important what vision the Lord has given to you. It will require faith to accomplish that vision. Is somebody here this morning? I don't care how big, how lofty the vision is. I don't care how mighty that great vision is. Without great faith, you cannot accomplish the great vision. Hallelujah. It is so. The popular scripture we quote that says the just shall live by faith. You remember it? The first time it was quoted was Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4. It's in Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4. Romans chapter 1 verse 17, I believe. Galatians chapter 3 verse 11, I believe. And then Hebrews 10:36, I believe. Hallelujah. But the first time it was quoted was in the Habakkuk 2 verse 4. And if you read from verse 1, you will know that he was talking about vision. I will stand upon my watch, set me upon the tower to see what he will say rather. And what I shall say when I'm reproved. He said, write a vision, make it plain. So, get to verse 4. The just shall live by his faith. It becomes clear that vision is connected to faith. The fulfillment of vision, sticking with vision until he speaks, is connected to faith. That's what they say. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I've been away. Am I in the wrong church? Amen. If I'm in the right church, I want you to respond. Is that okay? I said hallelujah. Amen. And praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. That's the right thing. Amen. All right. 2 Peter chapter 1, 5 to 8. Boosting your faith for supernatural accomplishments. Boosting your faith for supernatural accomplishments. And beside this, we read from the King James Version. And beside this, giving all diligence Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness. Verse 7, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. That's agapao, it means love. Verse 8, for if these things be in you and abound, then make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. All right, let's read verse 9. It says, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar, and had forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. He said, giving diligence, all diligence, add to your faith. So faith is a fundamental requirement. Add to your faith. And from that he gave us seven things we are to add to our faith. I would like to call them faith supplements. Or faith boosters. If you want to make egusi soup, the name of the soup is called egusi soup. There's a substance inside called egusi. But you see, that substance alone cannot give you egusi soup. Oh, come on now, be somebody here. So imagine you putting egusi in the pot and boiling with water and expecting to eat a sweet egusi soup. Will it work? You have to supplement the egusi with ingredients. That's what they say. So these are the ingredients of your faith. The things you use to spice up your faith, to make it more productive. Is somebody here this morning? Oh Lord, Pastor, I've been in faith, and it's as though I'm not getting the results I would like to get. God is talking to you. There are things to add to your faith. There are things to add to your faith. He started by saying, add to your faith virtue. What is virtue? Virtue means excellence. Moral excellence. It also means stamina. So he's saying, add to your faith stamina. It means ability to take your stand. Even when there is no change as yet. You know, there are people whose faith are short-lived. Every little thing, their faith is punctual. No, this faith, you know what I mean? Virtue. We'll discuss them in details. But let me run through them. What's the second thing? He said, and to virtue, knowledge. Knowledge. It will amaze you the kind of knowledge he mentioned there. He's talking about scientific knowledge, not revelation knowledge. He's talking about knowledge of natural things. It means, I'm releasing my faith for this orphanage I need to build. What research have you done about how to run an orphanage? That's what they say. Knowledge. It is not revelation knowledge from God. No, scientific knowledge. Knowledge that comes to us through our five senses. Knowledge that is born from observation. So, what do you know in the natural about what you are releasing your faith for? That's what they say. How much information do you have? How much knowledge do you have? How much relevant information do you have? Knowledge, that's what they're saying. So knowledge is not saying knowledge of God, knowledge of deep things of the Spirit. No. Add to your faith knowledge. Glory to God forevermore. We said capacity is the seed for promotion. And capacity has to do with your skill set and knowledge base of what you do. He said to knowledge. What's the next thing? Temperance. Hi, I like this one. Temperance is engratia. You know what temperance is? It means to hold yourself in. He's talking about the discipline of an athlete and of a soldier. It's the same thing Paul was talking about in 1 Corinthians 9. When he said, anyone that strives for mastery is temperate in all things. Meaning, he said, you want to gain mastery in what you're doing, you'll be temperate in all things. Engratia. Ability to hold yourself in. You wanted to say something, but you say, no. Hold it back. You wanted to go somewhere you're not supposed to go to, but no, you held yourself in. When an athlete is preparing for the Olympics, they are put on strict exercise and diets. Their instructors and coach will tell them, don't take this, don't take this, don't take this. So he may be seeing the cheese, but he can't take it. Why? He's thinking of the prize in the Olympics. Temperance. Self-government. Self-control. So you mean, the Bible is saying we should add self-control to our faith and it will work more? Yes. Holding yourself in. So he said, add to your faith virtue. We said that's excellence. And stamina. Add to virtue what? Knowledge. Natural scientific knowledge. Add to knowledge what? Temperance and gratia. The Bible says a man without self-control is like a city with broken walls. Anything can go out and anything can come in. No control over what comes to your environment. But self-control is important. Discipline. 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 And remember, two, three years ago, I talked about 7 areas of discipline. Who remembers that? 7 areas to exercise discipline. We talked about discipline over your appetite, over your feeling. No. We said discipline over your desire, not your appetite, which is your desire system, over your emotions, which is your feeling system. Can you remember? Over your day, which is your time system. Over your money, your spending system. What was the other one? The highest one was the tongue, over your tongue, your speaking system. There were 7 of them. You can check them out. Glory to God. You hold it. Emotions, feelings, appetites, time, money, tongue. Hallelujah. All right, the 4th thing is what? Out of patience, godliness. Godliness. He said, out to temperance, sorry. Out to temperance, patience. I said, what's the difference between patience and temperance? They are 2 different things. Patience means to be consistent. To be consistent as you wait for the manifestations of the things you believe, simply put. To be consistent. It means constants. It means to hold firmly to what you have believed, irrespective of what is happening on the outside. When you read through scriptures, you see that chance is a twin to faith. The Bible says, not being slothful, but followers of them. Through what? Faith and patience. Inherit the promises. Can you see that? Patience. James said, the trial of your faith worketh patience. And he says, let patience have a way. He said, then let patience have a full course. Meaning, let your consistency be to the end. He says, so that you can be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Many Christians are not patient. And listen, Bible patience is not taking whatever comes your way. Say, patience means long suffering, so I'm suffering long. It's a virtue. No, that's not that one. The patience as a virtue is waiting on God for his word to come to pass, irrespective of the pressures from the outside. You know, most times when we are in faith, waiting for God takes serious stamina and patience. Because as you are standing, pressures are coming from the outside. Is somebody following me this morning? But the ability to stand, the ability to be constant, the ability to maintain your confession, your composition, your disposition, your attitude in the face of the pressure, that's patience. Oh, I'll never forget a man. He was preaching on Sunday. He was talking about faith and patience. While his daughter was with the kidnappers. I listened to the message. If you are not told, you not know that his daughter was with the kidnappers. I was not told, I listened to the message. Kalabokoso took about. I said, men of faith are dangerous people. I remember that he taught on faith and patience. And you see excitement in church? The daughters were with the kidnappers, threatening to kill and asking for ransom. And he was not ready to give ransom. Is it normal? I heard the message. Explosive message. It is a victory. You must constantly walk on your faith. That's what will put you ahead in this world. The Bible says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory. He said, this is the victory. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. This is the victory that brings the world on its knees before us in absolute surrender. Even our faith. Satan cannot stand the man in faith, the woman in faith. Hallelujah. Preach hot message, faith and patience. And screaming and shouting, the power of God present, people getting blessed. That week also, they release his daughter. Supernaturally. Listen, Jerry Savile preached a message years ago. I had the part there. He says, Satan, if you can't steal my joy, you can't keep my goods. That's the title of the message. I think the message title was, if Satan can't steal your joy, he can't keep your goods. How true? Do you know that is true? Come on, church, do you know that is true? If Satan cannot steal your joy, he can't keep your goods. He is a thief. The Bible calls him a thief. And that same Bible tells us that if a thief stealeth to satisfy his hunger, he says it's okay, but if he be caught, that's the requirement. If he be caught, he shall pay how many? Sevenfold. Sevenfold. And we know how to catch Satan. He cannot be cloudless. Amen. You know, there are Christians that don't know how to catch the devil. So, oh God, why are you doing this to me? I've been serving. It's not God though, it's Satan. It's a, you have not caught the thief. Remember the story of the farmer? The parable rather that Jesus gave about the farmer that sowed good seed. He said, why men slept? The enemy came and sowed tares. When the owner of the farm came, what did he say? Did he say, oh, who did this? No, an enemy has done this. You must learn to catch Satan in his tracks. An enemy has done this. This is Satan's handwork. And then you command him to back up. Hallelujah. And you command him to restore. Sevenfold. Glory to God forevermore. I'm talking about patience, right? To be constant. To be constant. Even in the face of pressure. To be constant. To be constant. He said, but Pastor, how do I do it? When pressure comes, I get destabilized. Go back into God's word. In the face of pressure, get back into God's word and stay there. Get back into God's word. And I'm going to share some deep things with you in this series. Kalaboko Sotokepa. There are new things the Lord is teaching me about faith and how to make it work. Get back into God's word and stay there. Get back into God's word and stay there until your heart is assured of the truth that you have received. Hallelujah. Let your heart be assured. And listen, when Satan wants to deal with you, it makes you feel that what you are going through is peculiar to only you.
Yes.
Never think like that in your life. I don't care what you face. It's not peculiar to you. The Bible says there is no trial that you have faced, but such as is common. Common, common. The first thing to know about every challenge is like is that it is common. I don't care what you're going through, it is common. Oh, it is common. People have gone through it. It is common. You know, it doesn't have new tricks, Satan. It just packages. It just repackages. Same old thing. It's some of the here. Same old things. Never feel what you are going through is just peculiar to me. Oh, the whole. You know, that's why people commit suicide. If they know that it's common, they won't commit suicide. So, just me. I fail all the exams. I'm rusticated from school. They are feeling deep. Oh, there are many. Rusticated. Many people have been rusticated. They made a success of their life. Oh, you remember Naughty Josh, no, my friend? When Zaria did that thing to him. Oh, ABU. Kai. When Zaria did that thing. Yes, are we saying it's funny? No, it's not. But there's nothing you are going through that is not common. Jose locked him up in his house. You see, that man of God had made the success of his life. He has. Rusticated. Of course, now has the degree. Amen. That the ones in Nigeria is certificate driven. Amen. But I tell people that have challenges in school, even if it's open university, do something. Because we have a country that is certificate conscious. Amen. We like paper a lot. Whether, by the way, there's nothing you're going through. See, listen to me. There's nothing you're going through. There's nothing you go through that is not common to men. He said, but God is faithful. That's the second thing. Know that God is faithful. Know that no matter what you're going through, know that God is faithful. And he said, he will not suffer you beyond what you are able. So what you are facing now, know that you are able to handle it. Hey! I told you, problems look for their solution. So if they came to you, it's because you have the solution. It's because you can handle it. He said, you are able. Number one, it is common. Number two, God is faithful. Number three, you are able. Number four, there is a way out. There's a way out. He said, for God, in the same challenge, you create a way of escape. You remember? So there's a way out. Is it so that you not be tempted beyond what you are able? Hallelujah. Patience. To be constant. You set your face as a flint. He said, surely the Lord God will help me. Therefore will I not be confounded. Isaiah 57. He said, therefore have I set my face as a flint. For I know that I will never be ashamed. Oh, I've meditated on that scripture. You know when things really begin to work? When you are dead to the lying vanities around you. You meditate on scriptures until you become deaf to the vanities around you. You come to church, 30 people, 35 people, 40 people. You are shouting nations. You are shouting thousands. I've meditated on scriptures though. Listen, let me tell you something. Real success is the one that comes out of your spirit, born by God's word. I've told you, all the going around looking for external support system, it will not take you far. You will sit down and cook this thing in your spirit. By the word of God, are you listening? It may take time, but when the result comes, it is called Isaac. When you produce result outside of the word of promise, it's called Ishmael. Is somebody here? And listen, every Ishmael you produce is a thorn in the flesh of Isaac. It's the same thing. I don't care what God has called you to do. When you attempt to produce results by the flesh, not by the spirit, when you are not ready to use the tools of immortality to to generate results. You produce Ishmael. I tell sisters, it's better to be single than marry certain people. When you are trying to use your flesh, even guys try to use your flesh to cook up, to marry someone, it is Ishmael you are producing, you know, and it will be a thorn in your flesh. Always produce resolve by the Spirit. Produce results by the Spirit. Shakapula bakata kabaliya kabata. Produce results by the Spirit. The best man can do for you is to give you a bucket of water. Out of your belly shall flow rivers. Rivers. Can you see? Men will give you water to drink. They will give you a bucket. But the rivers. The Bible never told us that out of somebody, rivers will flow to you. No. It says out of your belly shall flow what? Rivers of living waters. The real deal is coming out of you. Is somebody here? Hallelujah. What we're saying is you will sit down and use God's word to generate value. In your life. In the area of your calling. Hallelujah. We'll get deep into this thing. Is it to patience? Godliness, right? I need feedback. To patience what? Godliness. What is godliness? Godliness is piety. Godliness is an outward display of the character of God. That's what godliness is. Godliness is not of the heart. Godliness is an outward display of kingdom character. Do you understand? Integrity is an outward show of the life you have received on the internet. Now, let me explain what I mean. If you studied Ephesians, the letter of Apostle Paul to the Christians at Ephesus, theologians have called it the apogee, the climax of Paul's apostolic writing. That's the book of Ephesians. And you will notice the three postures of the believer there. The seated position, the standing position, and the walking position. You remember? I think we were taught along the line before. Now, you will notice that the book of Ephesians has six chapters. The first three was given to our seated position. The next two chapters, that's 4 and 5, is given to our walking position. And the last chapter, which is chapter 6, is given to our standing position. Now, our seated, and now this thing I mentioned, you can break them into percentage. It will tell you what a church should give priority to. So, and if you notice, ministries are divided along these three lines. There are those that talk about our place in Christ, our seated position in Christ, amen. Our rights and privileges, amen. Our image in Christ, the new creation realities. That is the first three chapters. It is the most important. Followed by our walk, that's grace. Followed by our walk among men, our manner of life. Paul addressed our manner of life among men. How not to defraud people, how to walk circumspectly, how to walk in godliness, how not to walk in lasciviousness, deceit, cunning walking, lying, and all those things. Are you following me? He's talking about our walk among men. The next two chapters. And you see, there are ministries who have taken that line, character. Then the third one is warfare. Put on the whole armor of God. Stand against the wiles of the devil, principalities and powers and all that. Is somebody following me? That talks about our stand against the forces of darkness. And again, there are ministries that have come today. Warfare. Somebody has to die. Is somebody listening to me? Am I communicating this morning? But listen, wisdom demands that when you look at the emphasis given to it in those scriptures, the relative emphasis, you know the most important, the second important, and the third. So we have said that the believer understanding his seated position in Christ is of utmost importance. That took 50% of the whole writing. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. But yet, there must be a balance of the other 30% or so. Glory to God, which is our walk among men. That's where I'm going, godliness.
godliness. A brother is not behaving well and he's telling you that Christianity is in the hearts. He does not understand that scripture. Amen. A sister is not behaving well and she's saying Christianity is in the hearts. She's not even a Christian. Amen. She's coming to church. I've told you how to know Christians. Christianity is first a heart thing before it is outward. But you see, there is a way we voice what is in our hearts. Glory to God. And when a person becomes a Christian, certain things are not consistent with the person's nature. So that is why you feel bad when you do something wrong. Oh, come on, Abby, somebody here. That is why. When you were not born again, were you feeling bad? No. But that seed of God in you makes you feel bad when you do something wrong. It's a sign that God is in you. Hallelujah. So godliness will step into that. What's the second to the last thing? Brotherly kindness. That's Philadelphia in the Greek. Amen. We know Philadelphia is a place in the U.S. Amen. Glory to God. It actually means brotherly love. Brotherly kindness. It is the love of sharing. It is the love of giving. And then the last thing is love. The seven things you have to add to your faith. Now, verse 8 is instructive. He says, if these things be in you and abound, meaning that they are in you in overflowing measure, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. So what are you supposed to do? Let these things be in you. Let the things be in you. Hallelujah. So we'll start with a faith which is a starting point. You say, add to your faith. Giving all diligence, add to your faith. And that will... I'll just discuss certain concept of faith with us, then we'll close. Amen. For the day and continue next Sunday. What is faith? Why do we talk about faith? How important is faith? How does faith work? What is this mysterious thing? All this thing that everybody is talking about, faith. That even the people that don't understand what it means still talk about it. Amen. So what is faith? All right, let's go to Hebrews 11. Let me take my discussion on faith from there. Listen, faith is your response in thoughts, words, and action to reveal the truth. Let me break it down that way for you. You know why I have to say this? Because when you say faith, some people think it's just confessing. When you say believe and confess, Lord, that car is mine in the name of Jesus. That car is mine. I believe in my heart and I receive it. You say, I'm using my faith to get a car. That's just one aspect of faith. Listen, every action, everything you do in your thoughts, in your words, that is in response to the revelation of God's word is faith. Meaning, I read from scriptures that the hand of the diligent shall rule. I said, diligent, and I've been a lazy person. But I saw that scripture, and it spoke to me, and I made up my mind to be a diligent person. I'm in faith. Why? My action is in response to reveal truth. Is somebody following me? So your concept of faith must be broad. It's not just, okay, I've seen God's word. It's more than that. When I begin to act, in diligence. When I become diligent in my business, diligent, diligent in the way customers, in the way I relate with my boss, in the way I do what is committed to my hands, I'm in faith. I'm in faith. I'm in faith. And that word is going to produce result for me. My hand will rule. Why? It's part of scriptures. Is somebody listening to me? That's what faith is. That's what faith is. It's not just believing and confessing. Your response in thoughts, in words, in action to reveal truths, to the revelation of God's word. Well, no, just take for example the scripture we just read. Add to your faith virtue, excellence. So I see that I become excellent at what I do. I walk in moral excellence. I have stamina in waiting for God. I'm in faith. Why? Because I'm responding to God's word. Are you listening to me? It's they add to virtue, knowledge. I sit down because I'm a pastor, because I'm a revivalist. I'm studying the history of revival in Korea, the history of revival in Europe. I'm just studying and studying it. And somebody say, how does that relate to you growing your church and doing what you're supposed to do? Well, the Bible says, add to your faith, knowledge. And it is relevant knowledge to what I do. I'm studying on leadership. How do I lead well? How do I become a leader? That's faith. That's faith. Glory to God forevermore. Is somebody learning something? If the so-called revelation of God's word you've had has not affected your thoughts, your words, and your actions, you have not caught it yet. You have not caught it yet. Maybe you have not understood what you saw. That's why we said in the equation of faith, after revelation is understanding. Is understanding. In fact, faith is a product of spiritual understanding. Listen, faith is impossible. You cannot receive faith for anything until you have understood what God is saying. Are you listening? Faith is a byproduct, or is the product rather, of spiritual understanding. Every time you understand what God is saying, faith is birthed in your heart. Every time, every moment you understand what God is saying, and light comes to you, faith is birthed. It may be about your health. I do not get sick. I don't have time to be sick. Is somebody listening to me? Now, I'm not being braggadocious. I'm speaking in response to revelation that I've understood. Hey. That's why follow doesn't work in faith. You get to a point and it is sealed. You can't cross there. Your progress will be dependent on what is happening on your inside. Are you listening to me? I've told you before, you don't have classmates, you don't have age mates, you don't have grace mates. The day God created you, he put you in a class of your own to move. So don't expect things to happen to you at the same time. Operate by God's calendar, God's timetable for you. Are you listening to me? And the moment you understand that, it will take strife from your heart, it will take jealousy from your heart, it will take bitterness from your heart, and it's going to help your love walk, and it's going to help you make progress faster. Is somebody listening to me? Revelation and understanding. And the moment you understand anything, you are convinced. That's the pathway to conviction. Persuasion. Why do you think Abraham acted the way he did when he believed God? The Bible says Abraham was persuaded, fully persuaded, that he that has promised is able also to perform. Why? He was persuaded. Persuaded. God spoke to Abraham. He said, carry your son, your only son, whom thou lovest. Take him to a mountain that I will show you. He heard God. Do you know what was on Abraham's mind? God is going to raise him up. God is going to raise him up. God is going to raise him. Oh, glory to God. God is going to raise him up. God is going to raise him up. God is going to raise him up. And the Bible says Abraham received Isaac back from the dead in a figure. Why? Because in his heart he sacrificed Isaac. And he was convinced that God is able to raise him back. Oh, is somebody listening to me this morning? He had walked with God so much that he took God's word seriously. He took God's word seriously. He took God's word seriously. Is somebody listening to me? And somebody said, how do I get to this point of persuasion? Well, there are things. It may not just be reading your Bible. No. Sometimes by going to a place, your mind opens to believe. Faith enhances. Now, what did God do to Abraham? He brought him out. He said, come out of your tent. Look. Come out of your tent. Look. Look toward heaven. He showed him something to enhance his believing. The Bible says, when Abraham saw, he said, recount the story of the stars. The Bible says, and Abraham believed, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Are you listening? So there are things that's going to help you see what God has been saying since. He may be traveling to Dubai. Amen. Oh, it doesn't make sense to someone. I say he might be traveling to Dubai. You just go there, spend 3 days and come back. And everything God has been telling you will start making sense. He might be going to London. Do you believe what I'm telling you? God has been talking to Abraham. He did believe. Yeah, he said, Abraham, I'm your shield. You are exceeding great. He said, God, this English is too much. He said, what are you going to do for me, seeing that I'm going childless? And this Eliezer or Damascus will be my head. Ah, God said, this guy cannot believe. Come out, come out. Look towards heaven. Look towards heaven. Look. For some of you, it may be a video, a message, a documentary. When you watch something, it's parts. And it's as though God is talking to you. Is somebody listening? He said, look toward heaven. Recount the story of the stars. Recount the story of all the English God has been speaking, he did not understand. But when he looked up and he saw his story, what happened? The Bible says he believed. He believed. He believed. Glory to God forevermore. He believed. He believed. Hallelujah. Persuasions. And listen, the easiest thing to do after you're persuaded is action. Action is easy. It's easy. Glory to God forevermore. So give it back to me. What's the definition of faith I gave? In thought, words, to reveal truths. All right, did you get that? Your response to thoughts, in thoughts, words, and actions, to reveal truths. To reveal truths. Say, faith is the living response to the living word of the living God that affects your thoughts, your words, and your actions and causes to produce joy. You can write it that way. Any thoughts, words, or actions you engage in response to the word of God made alive in your heart is called faith. And this response will always produce supernatural results. Faith is a living force that lays hold on the invisible provisions of God, making them visible. Did you get that? Faith is a living force that lays hold on the invisible provisions of God. And remember, those provisions are revealed through scriptures, making them visible. That's faith. Another one. Faith taps into the omnipotence of God and causes changes on the earth. Faith is the hand that takes from the table of God's benevolence. I say that again. Faith is the hand. Why are you writing? Faith is the hand that takes from the table of God's benevolence. Listen, in this kingdom, your faith determines your vital experience. Your faith. Listen, let me tell you something. There are many currencies in this world right now. You will so cheat yourself to think that, oh my goodness. You will so cheat yourself to think that money is the only currency. Money is not the only currency. Money, in fact, money is the least. I say that again. Money is the least of all the currencies available to you. By currency, I mean the things you give in exchange for what you desire. In this kingdom, faith is a currency. Favor is a currency. Oh, is somebody listening to me? Your social network is a currency. So faith is a currency in the kingdom. The name of Jesus is a currency. The blood is a currency. Woo! That means we're about to buy from this table. Buying your heart desire. He said, what do you give in exchange? Blood. Blood. The guys in the kingdom of darkness understand this. He said, what are you paying in? Are you paying in gold? In dollars? I'm paying in blood. Oh, shall somebody say, pay in blood. Pay. Tap your neighbor, tell them, pay in blood. See that card I was telling you about, I'm paying in blood. I'm paying in blood. That house, that spouse, that child I was telling you about, I'm paying in blood. That job I was telling you about, I'm paying in blood. I'm paying in blood. That business, hey, the goods I told you I'm going to order, I am paying in blood. I'm paying in blood. Blood is a currency. Is somebody listening? You give it in exchange for what you desire. You give it in exchange. I don't care what the desire is. You give it in exchange. The Bible says they know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. The foundations of the earth are out of course. But I have said that ye are gods. But he said, they know not. So, the foundations of the earth are out of course. They know not. They know not. Favor is a currency. God said, I will give these people favor. And he gave favor to them. So this is what God has said, but your faith makes it real. That 1 John chapter 5 verse 4, perfect example. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, overcomes the world. He said, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. But he tells us how. That is legal. You know why? There are many Christians right now that don't look like they're overcoming the world. In fact, there are many Christians that have been overcome by the world. But does it mean the word of God is not true? No. We call it the vital or the organic side of what God has said. What did he say? He said, this is the victory. Meaning, this is how this overcoming the world thing is real. This is how it becomes your experience. Even our faith. Even our faith. Your faith is important. Your faith is important. Listen, and the factory for faith is your heart. The raw material for the generation of faith is the word. Did you get that? The factory, where is faith manufactured? It's in your heart. It's in your heart. And what material do we use to manufacture the faith? The word of God. Listen, there is no faith outside of the word of God. All the other things I was telling you, Abraham looking towards heaven, you going to Dubai, is to create an environment for the penetration of the word. Do you understand? But the substance that forms the faith is the word of God. And like in the word of faith, they used to say in those days, no faith, no word, no faith. Little word, little faith. More word, more faith. How true? Very true. Are you listening? Hallelujah. Let's get into something deeper. So the word of God is the material for faith. The word of God that you hear, listen to me, it is impossible to have faith for what you have not been told. It's impossible to have faith for what is not clear in your heart. It's impossible to have faith for something that you have not seen, something that God has not told you. Hey, yeah, 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 yeah. It's impossible. The at best expectation. Now, you know, this is the reason many Christians have expectations for years and they don't come to pass. Because we confuse expectation based on the ability and the kindness of God to faith. They are not the same thing. You can know that God is a good God. You can know that God wants to do you good. You can know that God is ready to do you good and not see nothing. You just see small, small things. Why? Nothing definite. Faith will flow from the specific word that God has given to you. It's getting deeper now. Can you see me? So that you know that God is a good God. And you believe in your heart that you do you good. If there is no word, by what I mean, definite. Listen, let me break it down for you. Everything you desire right now that you are using your faith for, there must be a scripture connected to it. Because that is what will produce the result that you desire. Are you following me? There must be a scripture connected to it. There must be a scripture connected to it. You want the ministry to grow. What are the scriptures? You want to get married. What are the scriptures? You want a new job. You want the business to move to another level. Where are the scriptures? Are you listening to me? Well, I'm hoping I'll get into some things today. Where are the scriptures? Without that, it's just expectation. It's just expectation. Are you listening? It's just expectation. Until the seed enters the soil of your heart, there can never be productivity. Just like a woman can never get pregnant until the seed of a man makes contact with her egg. Never. For lack of better explanation, she may even have sexual excitement. Are you listening to me? If there's no seed touching the egg, you know there cannot be pregnancy. Oh, somebody is not. Is somebody listening to me? This is so important. So a Christian can be excited about the presence of God. Oh, about the love of God, the awe of the presence. Church is wonderful. Oh, the glory of God we enjoy is wonderful. It's wonderful. But for that definite result, you must receive the seed. Am I talking to you? You must receive the seed. Kalabokoso tokeba. You must receive the seed. And listen, for everything you desire, that you ever want, that you ever need, there's a seed for it. There's a seed. Don't see our own situation. Where is the seed for it? There's a seed. Glory to God. There's a seed. There's a seed. There's a word for it. Trust me, there's a seed. Somehow it will come to you. It may be by prophetic lifting, meaning that word that the Spirit of God has highlighted for you is out of context in what that scripture is saying. But it came to you as Rema. It came to you as Rema. That was why the word that Kenneth Copeland used to get his first jet was different from the word that Bewitsing used to get his own first jet. And it's different from the word Bishop Oedipo used to get his first jet. But the results are the same. All jets. Can you see? For Dr. Kenneth Copeland, he saw that the Lord shall cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The Lord shall cause you to ride upon the high places. He said, high places. High places. I know this is not car. No, can you imagine? And from that, he caught the vision. You know, when people are just making noise and running their mouth, listen, those men are producing results by the incorruptible seed. The media did not make them, so the media cannot break them. Why? They are building their ministry by with the tools of immortality. Tools not subject to human corruption. People are wasting their time. And we are coming. Are you listening? We are coming. For everything you desire, there is a seed. There is a seed. God has told you to be the president of this country. Do you know there is a seed for it in scriptures? Once your eyes open to seeds, that's what you hold. As unto a light that shineth in the dark place, until the day dawns and the day star arises in your hearts. Are you listening? You will hold it. We'll call it glimmers of light. You will hold it. There's a seed. Be Winston saw from that Ecclesiastes. He said, a bird of the air, a winged creature shall carry your voice. The moment he saw that scripture, he said, this is my private jet. He said, a bird of the air, a winged creature shall carry your voice. No, you cannot read normally and sit and see it as jets. Are you listening to me? No, I told you about Archbishop Idausa. Be of good cheer. See, when the anointing is working and is opening your eyes to see things in the spirit, it's not English language you're talking about. We call it prophetic liftings. Suddenly, light is shining. I've told you before, the authority of the New Testament is the Old Testament. Especially the writings of the prophets. In fact, without the prophets, can I get into this thing? Without the prophets, the writings of the apostles have no authority. Are you aware? Even what validated the ministry of Jesus was the prophets. When they had a council in Jerusalem and they were talking about the gospel to the Gentiles, what did James say? James said, this is what the Lord has said by the mouth of his prophet. When he quoted what they said, he said, now we say. Well, maybe next Sunday I will show you certain things. And then I will show you certain, for those of you, so some of you understand. Well, you know, when the Bible says the church is built on the foundation of the prophet and the apostle, it's not talking about apostle so and so. It's not talking about prophet so and so. Because people that are apostles and prophets come and say the church is built on the foundation of the apostles. We are the apostles at the head of the church. Rubbish. That's not what he's saying. He's talking about on the foundations of the scriptures of the prophet. And the authority of the apostles that saw Jesus. Is somebody listening to me? The scriptures of old gave them the authority. When you go to that first Peter, I start from verse 1. And he was talking about the things that the prophet of old saw. The prophet concerning the things to come. Setting what and what manner of time this thing should be. That the spirit of Christ in them do signify. Of the sufferings of Christ and the glories that should follow. I said these things are related to you by them that announce and proclaim to you. By the Holy Ghost sent from above. What do you think he's saying? And they talk about the things that angels desire to look into. But how did I even get into this place? Prophetic liftings. You will notice that a lot of the times, Paul is writing, and then he's trying to say something, and he quotes from the prophets. And when you go to what the prophet was saying, it looks out of context. That's why if you think scriptural interpretation is just unidirectional, you can't. That's what some people that criticize everybody. That's what. You can't go anywhere with it. We talk about layers of scriptural interpretation. Are you following me? The chair there is C-H-E-E-R. Be of good cheer. Archbishop saw furniture. He saw pictures. And the same day, his brother and sister, somebody loaded a van, a truck of brand new furniture and brought to his house. How can you explain that? See, the word of God is spiritual. Are you listening? Are you listening to me? The word of God is spiritual. Glory to God. Tap your neighbor. There is a seed of the word for that thing you are desiring. So have your seat. Have your seat. Have your seat. There's a seed. There's a seed. There's a seed. And you see, the major way this word comes to you is through the mouth of those he has sent to you. You know, but a lot of times we try to, because of what are perceived dispensation of the New Testament, we try to say we are all the same. So nobody, and when people say that, they are saying, what they are saying is God cannot send another person to them. Because of, they say there's a new order of priesthood. We are all priests. Nobody is superior to anybody. Listen, let me tell you this. And I'll prove it to you from the New Testament. God's methods are men. And then number two, when God wants to give you this word we are talking about, this word that comes, most times he will bring the word to you through the mouth of the sent one. And I will explain what I mean by the sent one. In every season of your life, whether you are desiring something, you want a change, you want a new level, you are dealing with an issue, there's always a word. We have said that. And number two, there's always somebody that God will send with that word to you. This is where it gets very dynamic. And you will receive it by your desire. That's why when I come to you to teach you God's word, receive me as a sent one. And with a desire in your heart, Lord, send pastor to me this morning. Send pastor to me tonight. Let him give to me your word for me. That means you can listen to a message and you can hear God's word while you're listening to a message. Within the message you hear, does hear the Lord. Listen, this is what makes mature Christianity. Do you understand? This is what makes the Christianity we are supposed to be practicing. Listen, the church is not an entertainment center. Are you aware? It is not. It is not. It's a center of life. It's not an entertainment center. It's not God's plan for you to be so. The place where life is ministered. And a place where people are open up to God's word. I want you to think of church this way. Where you are open up to God's word. Meaning when you are attending a good church, you should become a student of the word. Did you hear what I said?
That's true, sir.
Because pastors are not babalawos. Neither are they prayer contractors. Are you listening? In God's mind, they are supposed to be instructors. Are you listening? Where, as we are talking, is reigniting what you heard in your heart last night while you were reading your Bible. Oh, is somebody here? I'm preaching and the whole thing is just connecting with that verse you read. Do you understand? And ping, you just got the eye. This is the next thing to do. This is the next step to take. That was what he was saying in Isaiah 30 that we quote. He said, though the Lord give you bread of affliction, water of adversity, he said, he will not allow your teachers to be carried into a corner anymore. He said, but your teachers shall be before your eyes. He said, then you will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Are you seeing that? That means that voice that will come behind will come from your teachers being before you. So any Christian that is not interested in hearing the word of God being taught can never grow. And will always be subject to deception and manipulation. There are many Christians who don't know who is fake and who is real. You know why? They have itching ears. They are not interested in the word of God. They want instant miracle to happen for them. There's nothing wrong with that, but you can't stop there. You have to be committed to God's word for sustained growth. Are you listening to me? Without that, you'll be subject to every wind of doctrine. It will blow you here and there. But the Bible says it is a good thing for the heart to be established in grace. Is somebody listening to me? So you are not waved here and there. Your heart is established. The word of God is very important. Listen, the anointing upon you can never protect you from deception. Never. The anointing upon you is your functional anointing to do what God has called you to do. It will never protect you from deception. It is the anointing within that protects you from deception.
Yes, sir.
And the anointing within feeds on God's word. Primarily. 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 Primarily, the anointing upon prayers, impartation, then the word of God. The anointing within word first, then prayers and impartation. Are you listening? And we live in a generation where your discernment has to be very high. Very, very high. And the word in your heart. 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 So God will send the word through you as the word is being preached. And that's consistent with scriptures. Remember that Romans 10 that we quote verse 17. Now faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now do you know in context he's talking about hearing from the preachers that are sent? Start from verse 13, you see there. So whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said, how shall they call upon him in whom they have not heard? How shall they in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe except they hear? How shall they hear except there is a preacher? How shall they preach except they are sent? It is from there he now saying, now faith comes by hearing. So in context, who are you hearing for the faith to come? Preachers that are sent. Are you listening? Now this is very important. There is a study, a personal study of the Bible to strengthen your faith, to receive light and all that. But I'm telling you that most times, especially when you are in difficult, tight corners of your life. Tight corners of your life. Pack materials, books and tapes. And separate yourself with your Bible. God will speak to you through the mouth of the sent one. You know, what I say to you, that some of you here may not believe. But if you agree with me and you put these things to work, you see that. Have you not noticed that most people will tell you when their lives were changed, ministry wise, business wise, was traceable to a man? Have you not noticed? Traceable. Traceable. Of course, the Bible is there. The Bible says, if there be an interpreter, glory to God. One among a thousand. Glory to God. Have you been blessed this morning? I'm out of time. Rise to your feet.
You have just listened to Pastor Erasmus Amewelth, the senior pastor of the Embassy of Heaven. For more messages and information, log on to our website, www.theembassyofheaven.com. www.faithfulpowerchurch.org. Stay blessed.